A book lover's book, a love letter to public schools, and a girl with the world on her shoulders. Now this is Vinyl Moon. Keep listening to find out more. Welcome to the Black Bibliophile. This is a podcast where I, Osa, review books and the stories behind them, from the hidden meanings to the secret treasures and everything in between. To quote Cicero, a room without a book is like the body without a soul. And with that, let us jump right into this week's episode of The Black Bibliophile. I think we're going to do this segment a little bit different. Usually I read a quote. I will be reading a quote, but I'm also going to jazz it up a little bit. You know, just a little sprinkle. I will be reading a quote and then explaining to you why I like the quote. So let's go on. Well, my teacher says, whatever book that makes you feel like you're at home can be a classic. And I just want to say, I love this quote because, like, as a reader, sometimes when I talk to other people that about books I read, or like, oh, I read books and stuff like that, they're like, okay, so what books have you read? Like, what classics have you read? And child, let me stop you there, because can you tell me how many black people are in those classic books? As a black girl, I like to read books about me or books I can relate to, and I'm tired of imagining characters as black. I'm just going to read the books where the characters already be black. Why am I going to waste my brain cells and stretch my imagination try to imagine your characters as black when I have a plethora of really well good written books that are not written by problematic authors where the characters already black? I'm going to let you sit on that one and think about it, because you need to. And it's like, I don't understand why certain books are only considered classics, because there are certain books, right, I'm gonna just say this: in 20 years time, if Legendborn is not named a classic, I'm gonna fight every single one of these white students and their mothers, because what? Don't make me tussle. I'm gonna tussle real quick. Don't do it. Because, like, if a book doesn't give you life, and if a book doesn't make you feel when you're reading it, don't waste your time reading it. And following on to that, another quote that kind of links into the whole classics, if you're getting the vibe, this book is kind of about pushing the rhetoric and doing what makes you feel seen and making sure you are seen. So our second quote is, I used to think there was something wrong with me, not wanting to read certain books that everybody said were the best or were classics. Now I know the truth. I'm looking for stories that remind me of me. Now I'm gonna say this. I've tried reading Jane Eyre. Girl, I've tried it. Will I ever go back? No. You couldn't pay me to try again. But I've tried. That's all that matters. Your girl tried. And as much as I see the appeal and see what is, I ain't gonna read it. I read books by and for people who are marginalized in society. I read books that make me feel seen. I read books by the queer, disabled, mentally ill, people of color, women. I'ma read it, because who else is gonna, like, be so for real right now? Who else will? And it's kind of why I started this podcast, because there wasn't enough in the media about not just good written books and well-written books, but well-written books by black authors, well-written books by indigenous authors, well-written books by Latino authors. I wasn't seeing that in the media, and I felt like there was a gap. Because even though people had book clubs and book talks and book casts and everything books, it just felt like no one was talking about the black books. So we started a podcast. Because, as I said, why waste your time imagining a character as black when you can read the same damn book that's probably written much better and the character's already black? Like, name something better. Because what's that sound from the Steve Harvey show? Name something that's better in black. People. Okay. I think I'm going to name this segment Quotes and Thoughts. Let it sit. Yeah, I like it. We talk about the quotes of a book and we think about it, reflect on it, and draw on what we want to say. Yeah, quotes and thought it is. Girl, you ate that. I know. Hey Biblios, welcome back to returning listeners, welcome to new listeners, welcome to the families, welcome all around. I just want to say, I know I said I'm going to do this every week, I'm going to keep out 2 weeks, I'm going to keep it a buck. We might only be able to do this thing for every 2 weeks because I really do be forgetting how much work and requirements a podcast takes, but that's beside the point. I miss y'all, and today we're going to go back to our normal schedule. I know we've had a couple chit-chat back episodes back to back, and as much as I love y'all and you love hearing my voice and I love speaking to y'all, I feel like we need to go back. We need to talk about books because I need to talk about this book, Vinyl Moon by Mahogany L. Brown. Miss Brown has written Chlorine Sky. Phenomenal book. Absolutely phenomenal book. And I've talked about this podcast before. If you need to go check, just scroll on down. I think it was maybe one of our earlier episodes, so just scroll on down, go see the episode and go listen to it, because that book was good. That book was about like friendship, growing up, friendship breaks up, and how friendship breakups really do be hurting your girl. They are so much more painful compared to just a normal breakup. Like, imagine you break up with your best friend. Lord have mercy. Mm-mm. And the thing, I think what makes friendship breaks up worse, right? Because when you get into a relationship, everyone's like, okay, be careful, you could break up, guys, you could break up, be careful. So when you go into a relationship, you're not really too fast. Like, if you break up, you break up, because you, it's almost like society expects you to break up unless you're long term, you get married and whatever and have kids, or if you don't have kids or whatever, you just, something in the future happens. Like, so like, society expects you to break up and you almost prepare yourself for a breakup. But with friends, you're never prepared for the breakup. You're never prepared. You don't expect it. And it's almost like you're blindsided, like, whoa, we can break up as friends? It's like, bro, that thing be hurting. Chlorine Sky goes in so much more into that. We are not here to talk about it today. Today, we are here to talk about Vinyl Moon. Vinyl Moon is such a good book. It's, but first, the cover. That cover. when I say, guys, I don't think I've seen a girl in cartoon, a black girl. Actually, that's a damn lie, but let's just roll with it. I've never seen a black girl drawn so beautifully. I've seen them in other books, but let's just give this book its sunshine. Nobody come and drag me out, because there's a lot of other books that have pretty black girls on the front, and so does this one. Okay, the purple, the hues, the her eyes, the braids, girl, the braids. I didn't say braids, I said braids. You can hear the braids on that cover. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. It was truly and utterly beautiful. Just gorgeous, like, ugh, I'm in love. Give me the wedding ring. Propose right now. Yes, yes, yes. Wedding tomorrow? Okay, I'll be there. I'll even wear purple. The purple. Angel's the girl on the cover. She's MC main character. She's the female main character in this book. I guess she's the main character, to be honest. But, like, yeah. She's a main character, and the way the purple hues just hit her skin tone, the skin tone of this girl, guys. I say this about every cover, but I don't know. I think this book cover did something to me. When I looked at it, I opened it, I said, oh, okay. I had to close my Kindle and look again, because that cover, anyways, guys, let's actually go before this turns into After Dark and we're all in trouble. Okay, now Miss Brown has never written a bad book. She can't. I've never seen her produce a bad cover. She simply can't. Miss Girl, don't start. I'm just saying, don't start. Because you haven't doesn't mean you should. Okay, thank you. But like, she has not. She will not. Don't make me look a fool to these people, Miss Brown. Don't make me. She has not. She will not. She can not. Okay? Okay. I'm gonna just let that marinate before we move on to the next point. It's marinated? Okay, cool. Point of contact. Your chicken needs to marinate longer than that before, unless you want some poor food. This ain't chicken. We ain't letting this marinate for 24 hours. We got things to talk about. We got things to do. Yeah, I just wanted to put that out there that your chicken needs to marinate longer than how long I've let this combo marinate, which, what are we going with? But yeah, that's beside the point. Guys, I'm so sorry. I just miss talking about books. I miss talking. Look, I'm embarrassed to myself, y'all. I'm just... Anyways, yeah. Okay, so what is Vinyl Moon really about? Vinyl Moon is a story of about Angel, a Californian transplant. She lives in California now. She's traveled to Brooklyn with a secret. Yeah, a secret. She's sent to Brooklyn to live with her uncle after some sort of violent altercation with her partner. Well, ex-partner. Anything that violent that happens with a boyfriend, with a girlfriend, they best be an ex. Thank you. With her ex-partner, Darius. The violent incident in question, it's kind of explained throughout the book. You hear snippets and you hear ums and qualms about it. By the end of the book, you kind of understand what really happens. At the start, you're a bit confused. And this resulted in her arriving to Brooklyn with a broken arm and a broken spirit to match. Angel starts her new school and makes friends with the girls in her homeroom, eventually developing a love for books, and her love for music strengthens her newfound drive for reading. Like, y'all, this girl loves books. She loves music too. She reads a book and writes a playlist, makes a playlist in the and it wasn't just a playlist. She like makes beats based on her mood. And her mood from those books. I'm so sorry, wherever her SoundCloud is, if it exists, I need it today. Thank you. No, I needed it last week, last year, last month. I needed the last century. Miss Mahogany L. Brown, can I please have that link? Thank you. Just saying. Angel loves books and she loves music. What more could we ask for? Like, the perfect black girl. Am I right? I know I'm right. I don't need y'all to validate it, but you could tell me I'm right. You could. I'm not waiting. I know you've done it, so thank you. Vinyl Moon. Okay. This book, the writing style for this book, it's unique. Miss Mahogany, Chlorian Sky was a book of verse. It was told in verse. Now, this book isn't really told in verse. There are some verses. There are some, like, poetry parts to it. And there are some, like, short texts. It's written both in prose and poetry, but it's written in such a unique way that it's like, it doesn't feel foreign. It doesn't feel like it shouldn't be there. You know, sometimes when authors be throwing in like a song, I'm talking to you fanfic authors, I'm talking to the fanfics, but you know, like sometimes they be throwing a song in there or a letter. Your beloved Coho and her love for letters. If you still support Coho and you listen to my podcast, respectfully shift, move, and go away. You have no, this is not a safe place for you. This is not a common ground for you. This podcast will not be a place for you to find peace, joy, or community. It simply will not be with the Biblios. Shift. Thank you. So yeah. Miss Brown loves her poetry, but like, it doesn't feel thrown in there. It feels like it fits. It feels like it should work. It should be in there, and it does. This combination of prose and poetry works so well into the context, onto the story, into the words, into the way the story goes, into the pacing. I honestly loved it. There are so many beautiful parts in this novel, and I can't honestly. You see, Miss Brown, she's on the top list of She's on that list of authors. If they publish a book, I don't care what it is, I'ma buy it. Miss Brown is there. Tiffany G. Jackson is there. What's Miss's name that wrote Blood Like Fate and Blood Like Magic? She's there. Miss Girl, Tracy Dion is there. Like, can we notice that whole, all of these are black women? Ooh, what's Miss Mayhem that wrote Ace of Spades? She's there as well. I just need y'all to need y'all. I need y'all. I need everybody to understand that Mahogany L. Brown is on that list. She writes something, I'ma get it. And if there's only one left in the bookshop, in the Waterstones, in W.H. Smith, best believe you gotta bring both of your hands up and be ready to fight, because I'ma tussle. I'ma tussle real strong too. Mm-hmm. I'ma get that book. I just don't know what you're leaving with. Will you leave with your clothes on, your hair on, your teeth intact? Or with your dignity? You decide. I don't condone violence, but sometimes, for the right reasons, for the right food, the right books, and the right yarn, a girl gotta tussle her way through life. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preach, preacher. Guys, I'm actually... Let's get back onto normal programming, because this ain't it. But yeah, as I was saying, Miss Brown writes so much. So her writing is just beauty. Her writing style is simply beauty. The pacing works. The words work. I honestly love the way she writes. And if you haven't read her, what are you doing? We are 12. We are God knows how many minutes in. It says 12 right now, but once this is released, it probably might be a bit more, a bit less. But we are so many minutes in. Why is she not on your list? Why are you not even on Amazon or W.H. Smith or Barnes & Noble or Waterstones or Amazon? I said Amazon. Or anywhere. Looking on the internet. Beyonce's internet to find this book. Why? God knows why. Because maybe I need to pray for y'all. Yeah. Anyways, I feel like I've been on smoke today. I've really attacked y'all a couple times. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Yeah. Highly recommend Miss Brown. Her writing style, phenomenal. I wanted to read this book for obvious reasons. Angel is a reader and she's a musicer. That makes no sense. Let's try that again. Angel loves books and she loves music. Need I go on? This book was made for me. Younger me. Because younger me felt she couldn't fit into the world or fit into space. She didn't like sports. Or if she didn't, or if, because she liked books and she liked music, she just felt she couldn't belong. Girl, look at me now. I belong. Hell yeah. Even got a boo thing and everything. I belong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so do you. So do you, girl. So do you, boy. We all belong. And I need you to understand that regardless of, let's say, if there's anything you do or you tell them that's niche, that's really niche about you and feel like people don't like you or don't like about it, go online. Go outside. Touch grass. There's going to be someone in the world that's going to love it, and there's going to be someone in the world that's going to hate it. Like, I'm just going to say this. Just make sure it's not something stupid. If you like pedophilia, go to jail. If you like stupidity, go to jail. There are some things we should not normalize. Bring back shame. Bring it back. Actually, no, I said I wouldn't attack you guys. Wow, I am on smoke today. Ooh, maybe I need a break. Maybe I need a break. No, it is. I haven't podcasted, properly podcast. Not a chit-chat. Like a sit-down, really talk to you guys and talk to you guys about the books I've been reading in a long time. Ooh, yeah, we're going to bring that. Talk to you guys in a long time. I haven't done it and I think I need to, because why am I on smoke? Why am I dragging you people for filth? I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, I really did want to read this book because I feel like it relates a lot. I related so much, so heavily to Angel's desire to read books authored by people of color. Like, I never really liked the quote unquote classics and how they will push onto students that weren't about people like me. Because I'm so sick and tired of the curriculum being basically white men, when especially in my secondary school, the majority of students, my school was an all-girls school. Everybody was a female. Why was 10% of the books that we had to read and we were tested on and examined on authored by women? Why were they authored by white men? Why was the only thing of literature that we was examined on that was authored by a person of colour a poem that my school didn't even study? It was in the poem collection my school didn't study. We studied love and relationships. It was in the power and conflict selection. What is that? What is that? And it's like, my school's predominantly black and everybody was a female. Like, at least if you don't want to talk about the race, let's do the gender. Give me books, give me literature, give me things by women, because the men ain't cutting it, my dear. And they are not. Not today, not then. Lord, I hope they finally start cutting it tomorrow, because, oh, Jesus. Jesus, take the wheel. Take the wheel. Okay. Ooh, let's just breathe. Because, like, yeah, I just never really understood. And I get the desire. I get wanting to read and the need to consume. We ain't reading no more. Yeah, we dragons. We devour and consume literature. Wanted to consume books that feel like they were written by me. Feel like a warm hug. Feel like, girl, I got you. It's fine. Feel like, girl, sit down. It's going to be okay. We've been through this before. Let me take you on the ride. Feel like, girl, we here for you. Feel like, girl, we family. Feel like, girl, I see you. Feel like, girl. Full stop. I need more books like that. And that's why I love this podcast. Because I always bring your books like that. Always. And anybody who says I don't, you are racist, sexist. At this point, you hate blind people too. Yeah, I'm wearing my glasses right now. And so what? Wanna fight? Cool. Oh, Jesus. Also, like, actually, let's just sit down. Let's take a quick... Guys, we're going to take a quick break. Peace, tranquility. Lord, have mercy. God, please come down and bring us peace. Holy Spirit, breathe into me. I need peace in my life. We good? Girl, we good? Yeah, we good. Okay. We good. So yeah, as I said, Vinyl Moon is so poetic. It's literally poetry, but it's a bit more than that. It's heartbreak. It's uplifting. It's stunning. It's beautiful. Angel, through words, the words that she uses, she is raw. Miss Brown is real. She presents Angel as someone who's raw and who's real. I felt at times I could just reach into that book and hug this little girl. Like, I saw so much of myself in her, but I also saw so much of my friends, my loved ones, my people I see online, my classmates. I saw them in her as well. And it felt like I just wanted to hug each and every one of them through Angel. Through them, hopefully I could reach the next girl. I could reach the girl behind me, the girl in front of me, the girl to the side. Because it felt like Angel represented so many of us on such a spiritual level. I don't know how to explain it, y'all. I do not. But you get what I mean? I hope you do. And now that I think about it, right? Now that I think about it, Vinyl Moon, it had, as much as it did have prose and poetry, I don't know if you've ever heard what vinaigrettes are, vinaigrettes. Maybe the English language is not for everybody, Sha. Maybe it's not. But it's basically like prose, but really short prose. And this book had a lot of them. When I say powerful, Mahogany L. Brown, your writing holds power. It's as if when you write, you breathe life into the words and those words breathe life back into me. Because there were so many times when I was felt like I was being knocked and chipped and broken by the words and the things and the stuff. That was stuff. Girl, please be for real. You're talking about English being powerful and you're using the word stuff. Please be so for real right now. Anyways, and the things, the events, the experiences, okay, there we go, the experiences that were happening to Angel, it felt like every time I was going through with her, I was being knocked and chipped, and then Miss L Brown would just drop a word, and I'm like, Lord, I needed this. And all the breaking, I've just been repaired. I've been healed. You see, when Jesus said, when God said 24 hours healing, I'll give it to you, he did. Through her words, he did. And it's like, I don't know what it is, but there is something healing about reading. And especially black books. Yes, I'm not always panda, whatever you want to call it, for the black books. But one thing I want to say, right, is I'm tired of black trauma. I'm tired of reading black trauma that has no resolution. If you're going to go through black trauma and hint at it, and then there's something forward, there's something going on afterwards, and that the black trauma isn't the center of the work of media, whether that be a book, a poem, a novel, a TV show, a movie, a song, an art, cool, don't let it be the center. Because if there's something healing about the reference to black trauma, but then the large majority of the media, of the art, being about the healing, and then seeing that person, seeing that character healed, there is something soul-shatteringly healing. That does not make sense, but let's go with it. Soul-shatteringly healing about it, as opposed to you're just telling me about black trauma. I'm tired of saying about black trauma. If I wanted to find about black trauma, I would have put on the news. In fact, I would have gone back to the news from 2020. Like, let's be so for real right now. I don't know what else you want. Like, I'm tired of black trauma. I want to hear the healing stories. I want to hear about the normal, mundane, boring things that black people do. We all wake up, we all grocery shop, we all go to the shops and say, oh, this shoe don't fit. Oh, I don't like this color. Oh, this dress don't fit. Oh, we all do that. Let me read about that. I'm tired of reading about the racism. Sure, the racism happens. Sure, we need to talk about it. But it gets to a point where we're having the same conversation all the time. And I need y'all to understand, to have these meaningful conversations, your emotional battery, your battery needs to be at either 80% or 100. I'm at 20%, y'all, because I can't keep reading and seeing and consuming and just interacting with so much black trauma. It's not every day I open my phone, open the news, open social media, and I see another black child is dead, or another black child hasn't had their hair cut, another black child hasn't called the N-word. I'm tired of it. So for all artists and authors, can we really talk about the healing books? Can we talk about the books where the black girl finally gets justice? The books where the black boy finally goes and does that music show he's been planning to do, or dances or sings in that team he's been wanting to sing and dance and act in for the longest time? Can we talk about the books where the black girl eats as much as she wants, she gets the guy, and she doesn't have to go through hell and back to get it? I don't know where this rant came from, but I'm really glad I got that off my chest. I feel like the theme of today is really being seen, heard, and felt. And feeling seen and heard and understood. Because, like, this book, until I read it, I didn't know how much I needed a book like this. It spoke to me in a way I think only God could. It spoke to me in a way only a few people can. It healed a part of me, I won't lie. The character's titled Have You Ever Been Catcalled? You know what? Let's get that book up. Let's get that. While I'm talking, I'm gonna get the chapter up. But the chapter Have You Ever Been Catcalled? It was one of the most profound pieces of literature I've ever read. And it's like, how can one woman sit and read something like that, write something like that? I saw myself wholeheartedly as a black woman. I saw myself wholeheartedly in my blackness, in who I am, in who I am in its entirety, with or without the blackness. I don't really see how we can do the without, but let's just roll with it. I've got the chapter up, right, and I think I'm gonna, okay, no, I know, I'm gonna read it, but I want to say, reading this and rereading this now, it shows me why I support the Protect the Black Woman hashtag protect the black woman movement so much. It goes like this, the chapter in this book. Have you ever been catcalled? It's like running, running, running forever towards safety, away from the sounds that scare you most. It's like pretending you're in control of your life, of your own ideas, with no idea of who wants to take the light from you. It's like running until you hit a wall and the wall doesn't budge and the wall doesn't care that you're scared and you've been taught to fear the sounds of walls blocking your path, blocking your way, blocking your vision. Have you ever been catcalled? Being called ma, sweetie, sugar, honey by people who don't even know you. They sound so sweet when they say sweetie, sugar, ma. Yo, ma. Your heart knows you can't trust and your blood races, your eyes die and you begin to sweat because you've seen what those sweet nothings become. If you don't accept them gracefully, if you don't acknowledge them. Have you ever been catcalled? And witness Ma transformed into the word bitch. And watched the baby boom, then cut into the word slut. And learned how silly sugar can be shortened into a nasty slur. Have you ever been catcalled? Have you ever been chased? Have you ever been followed? Have you ever had to run, swing, and hide from danger? Have you ever been followed? Have you ever been chased up the block, behind the stairs? Have you felt your heart beating in your chest? Have you felt your heart stutter, step, kick, and climb? It's like, it's way up in your throat. Have you ever been bitten for saying no thank you? Have you ever been kicked for saying I'm not interested? Have you felt like you might not make it home safe? Have you felt like you might not make it home? Have you felt like you might not make it? In that word, in that poem, in that chapter, it feels so liberating. Having your feelings written on page like that. As a black woman, sometimes you feel like, okay, I need to double check the streets. As a woman, I need to double check the street. But as a black woman, triple check them because they're going to believe the white woman before you. Nah, she agreed to go with it. Bitch, I did not. I said, no, I'm going home. I didn't say, okay, I'm going with you. But why did you interpret my no, I'm going home as, yeah, I'm going to go with him? No, just because we left at the same time. I said I was going home. He said I should come with me. I said, no, I'm going home. You think I said, yeah, I'm going with him. And now you've taken his word over mine. The world is going to not believe the black woman. Martin Luther King. No, Malcolm X, my bad. Wrong M's. Malcolm X said, the most disrespected woman is the black woman. End of. Pecking order. The white man, the white woman, the black man, no, the white man, the white woman, any other race, black or man or woman, the black man, the black woman. Because why? A black woman is closer to the black woman than she is to the white woman just because of the fact she's black. Society will see you as being black first and then a woman, and because you're a woman, you're basically a bullet through your chest, and because you're black, there's already a target on your back. There's no winning. There is no winning. You have to work twice as hard because you're black and four times as hard because you're a woman. Now you're working eight times as hard because you're just a black woman in society. And it's like, yo, when will I get a break? Yo, that got dark and hard hitting really, really fast. And it's like, reading that chapter, right? Reading in that moment, I wanted to climb, enter, somersault, walk, run, jump into this book and hold Angel. I wanted to pour love into her the same way I'll do with my sisters, the same way I'll do with my friends. I wanted to love her and show her that there is peace and there is love in this world. And she is fully deserving of it because society is going to be the first one to tell you as a black woman that you don't deserve it. I'm going to be the first one to tell you that you do deserve it and more. Because as someone who finds peace in books and sometimes music, I can celebrate how beautifully both art forms are represented in a way that is both healing and informative for both the reader, me, and Angel. Because, oh, man, I love it. I loved it. Following that, you know what else I loved in this book? As much as it's not like a grand part about it, the romance, Sterling is our love interest in this book, and Lord have mercy, that man That man, ooh, he knows what he's doing to keep a black woman. He knows how to keep a girl. He knows how to win the girl because, ooh, he did what he had to do. He made Angel feel seen. He made Angel feel heard. He made Angel feel safe in a world, in a society that she didn't feel safe. He showed her what genuine, unconditional love is without being asked. I'm so sorry. How are you guys going to be dating this broadcast dossier's niggas? Simply. When there's people like Sterling out in these streets, sure, he's in a book, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bet top dollar there's at least 10 men in this world that are like him, and then some. And then there's like 8 billion people in the world, so there's at least 10,000 men that are like Sterling, and then some. You can find your man. Stop dating these brokers, the CS, don't ever want to get a job here, sitting on the couches. Y chromosome humans. I think they're challenged. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think they're all facially and mentally challenged. I think that's the problem. Yeah. I said I'm going to stop dragging people, but I feel like men do their special dragation, you know, sometimes. When we meet Angel in this book, we're immediately thrown into the post move. We don't really see the... We begin to learn about what led to the move, but we don't really see her in the process of moving. And we see her irritation, her frustration, her fury with her mother, who, comically, she only refers to her by her first name, Elena. And she adjusts, or we're in the process and seeing her and we're adjusting along with her into the new circumstances, situations she's been put in Brooklyn, as opposed to her once where she called home California. And it becomes quickly clear that Angel loves, absolutely loves her immediate family. As much as she loves her family, she has undergone and has been put on her large amounts of responsibility. I know I'm doing a call out for the firstborn daughters. Girl, I see you and I hear you. Go read this book. She sees and hears you too. And it's like, she gets to grow. She gets to find herself. She gets to be Angel, see Angel, and know who Angel is within Brooklyn. And not only because of the environment and removal from the toxic external individuals like Darius, but because she has the space not to just finally be her as Angel, but to finally be a kid. She is given the space to be the child she was denied to be as a child. Do you know how healing that is to see a black woman do, in fact, a black girl do, and know that I can do this for myself in the future when I need to? Do you know how healing that is? It feels like a warm hug with blankets, because yeah, I cried like a baby in this book in some places. I was like, yo. But the thing is, right, it wasn't even parts that, yeah, you would typically cry on, but it was the words that, the meanings that words held, the realization that, rah, as a black woman, I can do this, I can heal, I can be a child, I can be human and not be a 24-hour, 100% efficient machine. Do you know how healing that is? I feel like we're hitting. And it's like she has the space to finally be a kid. And that's just one of the most beautiful things I've actually seen in a book, for sure. Whew. But following on the hard-hitting subject matter that we've already started, I really want to talk about the domestic relationship and violence that is handled in this book, the way it's referenced, the way it's domestic violence within a relationship, the way it's handled, and following on from this like very hard-hitting theme we've already started, I really want to talk about how the subject of domestic slash relationship violence and how it's handled so brilliantly in this book. We as readers get an insight into the good times, the emotional abuse, the incident that Angel left with a seriously wounded arm, and everything in between. We get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, literally. And the depictions of emotional abuse and gaslighting are shown and handled so maturely, so brilliantly well. I had to sit back and say, damn, did you have a tape recording some of these conversations I've had with people in my life and just say, yeah, I'm going to give you a book with it? Because wow. Though Angel herself is an amazing character, within her own right, she's an amazing character. The inclusion of these issues, inclusion of the almost conflict management, is what makes this book such a good book. Because you have a good character, you have a good subject line, you have good side characters, you have good conflict and resolution and growth. It's like, this book is a warm hug, y'all. It's a warm hug. And it's what we will need, especially in the testing times we're in today. Y'all, some of us need a hug, and Miss Brown gave us that hug we need. And Miss G in her class. Ooh, love that woman. The only place that makes sense that I need in my life is Miss G's classroom. Angel becomes immersed in Miss G's revolutionary literature course. The words from black writers like Toni Morrison and Zora Neale Hurston speak to Angel on a spiritual level and begin to heal the wounds of her past. Angel's journey with reading is, ooh, it's so, so important. It shows how important, it shows how important it is for us to see different types of writers in both in school and public libraries. Because I'm going to be so real. Yeah, Susan down the back might talk about domestic violence, but she's not going to talk about the perspective of a black woman. She's not going to talk about how that man pulled my hair and I felt the spiritual pull on my ancestry lineage. She ain't gonna talk about that now, is she? No. There is a need for black voices. There is a want for black voices. And there is a calling for black voices. Because without black voices, without indigenous voices, without Latino voices, without Asian voices, in these brown voices even, in these spaces, there is a lot of people who will never be seen, who will never feel as if they are heard, and who will never feel as if they are understood without these voices. And I thank Miss Brown and all the other authors I've mentioned in this episode that provide spaces for these voices to be heard. I thank Miss Brown specifically in this book for showing us how important it is, for showing Angel how important it is to find authors who look like you, who are your people and who want the best for you. Because they want that best for you, their writing will show it. Their writing will show it. And it's like, yo, if you wanted me to cry in this book and you didn't want this book with tear stains on it, sometimes I don't need to read a book. Because if you buy this book and you don't want some tickle, pickle, hickle tear stains on it, close the book. You're not ready. If you haven't drank water and you dry your body, drink water. Drink water. Don't mind your business. Open that book because you need to cry. You need to heal yourself. You see all those tears you're holding and you're not letting out? When the burst and the dam breaks, I pray that you are in a good space, that you can pick the pieces back up. I pray that all those feelings and emotions you're holding, they do not blow up in your face in the wrong moment. Go and heal. Read a book. Go to therapy. Talk. Deal with your issues, because let me tell you this, don't start bleeding on people who did not cut you. Don't do it, y'all. Don't do it. And don't bleed on those who cut you in the first place. Let me tell you this, somebody cut them. You need to heal yourself so you can be a better person for the people in the future. Because the people who come and meet you, they're going to need you in some way, shape or form. You need to be your best self when they need you so you can show up as your 100% self. You can't show up if you haven't healed. Because you're simply not there. You're simply existing and surviving. You're not living. How can you show up if you're not living? Anyways, I feel like I'm now dragging you guys again. So let me just rein it in. Let me rein it in. Our time is almost up. I'm not going to lie. So I need to swiftly wrap this up and give this book a rating so we can move on to the next segment. I say that, but am I going to do it? No, because why this book needs is due diligence. So let's carry on. Angel, my love. Not only did you read these stories and read these books by people of color, but you used your music. Your love for music. I made a playlist based on how you felt and your vibes for each book. I'ma tell you this, Miss Brown, please. Okay, without the clicking, Miss Brown, Lord have mercy, please. You see, I did it without the clicking. I got some respect. I humbled myself. I need access to that playlist. Thank you. That's all. I need access today, tomorrow, yesterday. I don't care when. I need access. Sure, boy. Thank you. Because, Angel's love and passion for the things she does, you see it through the book. You see the kind of person she is. She's, you know, one of those people where when they sit down and they do something, they put their all into it, it is bomb. It is something that everybody wants to be a part of. It is something that I wish I thought of that. Or I wish I was part of the team, of Angel's team that did it. I wish I was sat there in the room with her so I can at least take credit for showing her, picking one of the songs. Because, you know, you can't take credit for all of it because that thing has Angel written all over it. And I wish we all reach that level of passion in our various fields of interest, in our various fields of work or whatever, that we can own something that is ours. That we can take ownership and recognition of something that is solely for us. Solely for us. You know, the storyline was engaging as hell. It was good, guys. I'm a clutch pearls. It was, you see that noise? That's me clutching pearls. It was good. It was good. It was good. Maybe better than fried chicken. I'm not going to lie today. No, let's not lie. I don't think it was that good, but it was close. It was very, very close. And it's like the chapters were short as well, because as we said, they were prose and vinaigrette and poetry, so it wasn't like long actual novel pack chapters. But I'm gonna say this. A word goes a long way. Just because these chapters were short does not mean they had any less of power behind those words. Ooh, they packed a punch. They packed a heck of a punch. Miss G. Well, back to Miss G. I think I need to give her credit. I need to give her her praise, her ums, and her, like, her praise. Because her class was incredible. The things that were mentioned, the topics that were discussed between Miss G and the girls, impeccable. I think in schools, everybody needs a teacher like Miss G. Schools need teachers like Miss G. The students need teachers like Miss G. We need a Miss G in our lives. As a friend, as a teacher, as a mentor, as whatever, everybody needs a Miss G in their life. And I think if I did have a teacher like Miss G, maybe I would have appreciated life and school a little bit more sooner. I would have appreciated life. I would have appreciated school. Maybe even literature, actually. No, I've always been a literature kid, I can't lie. But still, I would have appreciated things much sooner and much more if I had someone like Miss G in my life. And I'm thankful that I am able to have my Miss G in books in my life. Because although she may not have been in my life physically, she's in the pages. She's in the pages. I can feel her in the pages. And I can read them, understand them, digest and consume them, and then get that understanding of Miss G into my life. That's, you know, sometimes you read books so you can have people in your life, man. Because those characters, yo, I'm going to tell you this. The characters in some books have carried me further than anybody else in this world but God. I said it. Do I need to say it again? I don't want to say it again because you should have listened the first time. If you didn't, pause back, rewind 15 seconds and go listen to it again. Thank you. Now, I love how every day in the circle, Miss G asks the girls how they were feeling. Because not only did she create a healthy and safe space for these girls to talk and express their feelings, she created a space where these girls felt safe and trusted her enough that they were truthful about their feelings. Because they didn't just say, no, damn, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm okay. Mm-mm. They told her, Miss, let me tell you what happened. They told her and each and everyone about them what was going on. Miss G, within those girls, expressed to me the importance of community, especially for a black girl. Especially for a black woman. Miss G teaches us the importance of community, of holding each other up, of being there, of creating safe spaces where you can be fundamentally and 100%ly and fully yourself. You can come and present and come as you are without any judgment, without any harm, without any fear. Miss G created that space. And I feel like after reading Venom Moon, it's been a while since I read this book, but there was a chemical and cosmological quantum shift in me, and I strive to fully and wholeheartedly come as I am and present myself fully solely because of the work of Miss G. Because can we really just give a round of applause for that woman? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I need a Miss G in my life, in real life. Thank you. God, I just need that in fast track. Thank you. Now, the female friendships, right? The female friendships in this book were phenomenal. They were so good. I said it teaches you about community, but I'm gonna break this up and down a bit. Get you a friend like Eva, someone who's ready to go thrift shopping with you and help you do retail therapy. Get you someone like that who's willing to do it with you. No ums, no qualms, and even happy to do thrift shopping with you. Get you a friend like Taya, who's comfortable sitting in silence with you when you need it. No ums, no qualms, and will give you the silence and give you the space you need, but will also let you know that they are there. It's different than someone giving you space, but you feel they are there. You know they are there. You know that you can rely on them. Because someone can give you space, but you feel like they've gone, and then you're trying to call them back. No. Taya gave Angel space to be comfortable silence, to sit in when she needed it, but Angel still know Taya was there if she needed her in that silence. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Amen! Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Get you friends who accept you for who you are. Push you to be the version of you, the younger you needed, and then tell you about yourself and reprimand, maybe not reprimand, but like tell you about yourself when you need it in a loving way, and then help you and give you the tools to fix whatever the problem was. Get you friends like that, and don't just get them, keep them. Be that kind of friend so people can also get you. Because you can't just say you want a good friend if you're not a good friend. You can't just say you want good friends if you yourself are not a good friend. Now, are you a good friend, Miss Ma'am? Miss Candy, are you a good friend? Okay. I really only have two things to say about this book, right? It's like, it's my umps and qualms and ums and about the book. I didn't like the hesitation there was to tackle tough subjects. Yes, I said they tackled domestic violence and all that really, really well, but I did feel some drawback. I did feel some hesitation. I felt like it could have gone deeper. Angel's parents were in an abusive relationship. Her mother was neglectful and alcoholic. And Angel herself was in an abusive relationship with Darius. Like, all things are mentioned, but we don't really actually explore what goes on. We don't really explore the feelings, the emotions, the events of the things. Sure, I understand it can be very traumatic for the author, the reader, and obviously Angel herself. So maybe that's why there's a hesitation to explore it. But I feel like I would have wished that there was some form of exploration or some form of guidance on how to, that there would have been some form of guidance on how to explore this within your real life. I just feel like I wanted some level of exploration. Like, I didn't want the glory bits, but I feel like Angel never really got a chance to process her trauma and fully move on. She holds it in, and then at the end of the book, she's like, she shares her experience with her homeroom girls, like how she does, how they all do. And suddenly she's magically healed. Like, please, I'm not buying it. Healing doesn't work like that. Healing takes time. It takes work. It takes grit. It takes tears. It takes process. It takes relationship. Yes, she has a community, because I feel like you cannot heal in isolation. All this thing about, oh, you can't get into a relationship until you're healed. Yes, you can't get into a relationship until you start your healing process, but you cannot be fully healed unless you're in a relationship. Because how are you going to heal? How are you going to hold yourself accountable without someone being there and be like, yo, you're sliding back into your old ways, fix it? You need community to fully heal. And Angel had that community, but I just don't think, from what we read, she fully processed what happened. So obviously, until she's fully processed what happened, her healing journey has not ended. She has not even really started, to be honest. She has not healed. Sure, at the end of the book, let's say she started her healing journey because she has finally talked about what has happened. But we cannot say she is healed because she never really processes what happened. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Thank you. But I do appreciate that the conversation begins, because in a lot of books the conversation is never had, it never begins, and it never is and was or is to be. I'm glad and so grateful that Miss Brown allows us to have a level of communication there, because we need it. We do. Now, another thing about the ending that I didn't really like here, it was a bit too neat. Maybe I just like the mess and the drama. But like, as I said again, nothing was ever really resolved or addressed. I do appreciate that Angel was able to reconcile with her mother, and that was really, really beautiful and genuine. It was really special. I just feel like not much of anything really was addressed, or anything really actually happened in relation to her trauma and her past was really addressed in the book. There was not much of a thing with Darius afterwards. It was like, we were kind of getting a few bits and bites of things, of delicious food. It was good, but not satisfying. And I'm going to tell you this. There were no food comas and there were no food babies. It wasn't... More food could have been given out in the processing of it near the end. So yeah, it was a bit too neat. But you know what? Maybe I just love drama. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I just like the drama. Sure. You can fight me. If you want to fight me. Sure. I'm here. I'll fight you too. Don't make me steal your current read, the one that you have in your hand right now, that's in fact looking at you in your bed while you're listening to this. That's that current read. Don't let me steal it from you. Okay, now Miss Brown just keeps on turning out great reads after great reads in small and powerful packages, and this Vinyl Moon no exception. Like, as I said, remember Chlorine Sky? I used to think no book could top that, but you know what? Vinyl Moon, I love this book. And because I love this book, I would be rating it a 4.5. Sure, I think I rated Chlorine Sky maybe a 5, or maybe I rated it a 4. I could have rated this book a bit higher. But as I said, it was a little bit too neat. But you know what? I like things neat. I think I'm just a messy queen. So I'ma stop being petty and I'll give it like a 4.8. Yeah. I'ma give this book a 4.8. I've knocked the 0.2 off because I like to be a bit messy. Out of 5 stars, this was a damn good book. Because why? The Black Queen herself, Miss Brown, wrote it. That's why. Hello. Girl, if you're still umming and quamming whether you need to read this book or get your hands on it, ciao. Let's read the first page. Hello, Brooklyn. Goodbye, California. First day of school, East Coast, Brooklyn. And it's like I've never been alive like this before. I walk into Benjamin Banneker and the security guard asks me for my student ID. It's my first day, I stutter. Not because I'm afraid, but because I'm confused. I've never had to have an ID to come onto a school campus before. This is real different than California. But after that weird night with my ex-boyfriend Darius, my mom, she who I now call Elena, drove away with me in the front seat, tears falling down her cheeks as she whimpered, "Ew, you're moving to Brooklyn with your Uncle Spence." I was too numb to answer. My throat was a sea of sandpaper and I couldn't even cry. All I can think of is, my eyes almost swollen, the fight, his Chevy Impala in the school parking lot, my arm, his furious eyes, his permanent scrawl, the fight, my eyes closed against the light, all over some dumb argument during a school basketball game. So when I mix my words, I think it makes me look guilty. I mean, it's my fault Darius got into trouble, right? "Go to the left," the security guard directs me. He has a tapered fade and black rimmed glasses. He is almost frowning at me. Maybe he thinks it's my fault too. "Ciao." I don't know how to help you if you are still confused on whether you need to get this book. Please, don't walk, run, get it. And that is all. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Black People of Our podcast. I am your host, Osa. This week, we discuss Venom Moon by Mahogany L. Brown. And yo, I love this book. I am so sorry for the amount of dragation that you guys will put through in this episode. But yo, love it. I love you. And you know, it's a happy, 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 happy harmony and harmonious family that we have built here, Biblios. Can I say we won't do it again? No. I cannot. I'm sorry. I can't lie to you people, Sha. I cannot. Can I say I will at least attempt and get better at it? Maybe. I'll try. Will we be back next week? No. I have decided that I can't really do every week because my life has got very busy. Sure, I'm on summer. Sure, I'm on holiday. I should be on vacation right now. But like, my life is just very busy and recording every week as well as editing and all that is not really sustainable. Plus reading and crocheting. I love to read and crochet. I'd rather do that than record. Sure, I love you guys. Sure, I love to talk. But I'm so sorry. I love reading more. How else did this podcast come about? Like, let's be so for real right now. So yeah, it won't be every week. It will be every 2 weeks. And it might be a Friday. It might be a Saturday. I like to keep y'all on your toes. Just keep a lookout for Fridays or Saturdays every second week. And yeah, I can't wait for what we'll be discussing next time. I can't say right now because I love to keep you guys on your toes. So we're just going to see what I decide to do when it pops out. Yeah, keep a lookout, folks. So if you want to join in on the conversation, leave an email, an IGDM, or even a voice message. Links to these various destinations are in the description of this week's episode. There will not be a question this week. Solely because I don't think I want to carry on the question segment of our podcast. I want to start introducing dilemmas into our podcast. I will be talking about these next time. I want to play around with it in my head and talk to a couple of people about it and see where we're going to go with dilemmas. If we do decide to work with it, I will be discussing a bit more about how these dilemmas are going to work in next week's episode. Well, next time we're here, next time you hear my beautiful voice, I will be discussing it. But until then, I'm just going to say this. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you once again for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day, a blessed rest of your week, a glorious weekend. And until next time, God bless you and goodbye.